All right, welcome to this week's Franchise Accelerator podcast. I'm really excited because I think this is a very important conversation to have now that we're in November, which is really hard to believe that we are in November. But what that means is now is the time that we really want to start preparing for year end. I think a lot of times in business, we think about year end as something we do after December 31st, right? It's start of tax season. I got to get the box together. I got to give it to my accountant. And really, that's too late. If we're going to do year end planning correctly, we really need to do it the next 8 weeks to make sure that by the time our year ends, we know exactly what happened. So what we want to do today is kind of walk through a few of the key things that you could do right now without taking too much of your time, because the great thing about hospitality is year end hits in probably your busiest month or one of your busiest months.
Right.
So, you know, it's a challenge, but if done correctly, I like to think of year end as something we can do before we hit Thanksgiving. And then we kind of go on autopilot for the rest of the year. So the next 3 weeks are really going to be important. It's going to be things that we're touching on to help you get ready for year end so that there's no surprises and we can just make 2024 a great year. So first thing, which I'll say is the accounting side, is we want to really know how we've performed this year. And what I think about that is, you know, yes, it's important to go through the P&L. It's important to look at your sales, ideally, you know, sales by month, your margins, things like that. But ultimately, I like to look at your cash flow. What was your cash balance on January 1, 2023? And what was your cash balance on October 31st, 2023? And whatever the reason is, oh, but I did a build out, oh, but I, you know, paid down this, whatever it is, those two numbers are really important as a place to start.
Yeah, and I think it's only said that because from the operation side, right, all year long, we're looking at P&L, so we're looking at cost of goods, and we're looking at labor and all that. But on the last maybe 2 weeks, on a lot of calls I'm on with clients, it's shifted.
Yeah.
So let's look at the cash. Where is the cash going? Where is it? And I think so as you're saying that, it's funny that like that's where the mindset changes.
It does.
Our cost of goods are our cost of goods at this point.
Yeah.
We're probably that's what it's gonna be. Maybe next year we can increase prices, change around, whatever. But right now, this is where we're at. And I think the nice part is you still have 2 months, you know, or a month and
right.
a half to make those changes right. from a cash perspective.
Well, and I think the other thing that's changed a little bit is for the last few years, we didn't really have to worry about our cash balance, right? For better or worse, you know, COVID was a challenging time, but it was also a time where there were a lot of government programs, PPP, EIDL, you know, ERTC. And for that reason, cash was just this, like, I have no idea what's going on in my cash, so I'm just going to kind of ignore it and continue on. Well, now a lot of that money has gone away. We've either spent it on things, you know, operationally, those were challenging times.
Right.
So it did help offset some bad things. Sure. But for this point in time, I think for the first time in a few years, it really is something that we need to look at. And I think that adds a little stress just because it was out of our routine for a while.
Right.
But that's where it's important to look now before the end of the year so we know and we feel comfortable with the cash that we're starting 2024 with. All right, so that's number one, which ties into cash, is number two, which is inventory. So a lot of times, again, this is one that we wait until hopefully December 31st, although a lot of times I'm doing taxes for just our tax clients. It's like, oh, you want me to take an inventory? Well, yeah, like 3 months ago. But, you know, I mean, really, inventory isn't something we want to wait until 12/31.
Right. And everyone is using their inventory a little bit differently. So, right, if you're taking an inventory that we're using on for tax purposes or for, you know, your accounting purposes to see what are your costs of goods, all these things, yes. The other part is that cash flow. I mean, if you're sitting on a lot now, it's a perfect time to look at what do you want to order. Maybe you're trying to set up quarter one of next year because you had a great year and you're going to order extra to-go boxes or order extra paper supplies. Or on the other end, it's, oh, I'm tight this year. Let's see what I have on the shelves.
Yeah.
And what can I not order for the next 6 weeks or order less of and make it through and save cash in the pocket to finish this year strong.
Exactly. And I would say inventory is probably the area that you can be strategic. Because like you're saying, if you're looking at, wow, like I've done really well this year and my bottom line is flush, I probably want to order a lot, right?
Yeah, stock up.
To-go supplies, like extra week of stuff, right? That's going to be something that I want to think about. But on the flip side, it's also an area where if you're carrying more in inventory, as we've seen happen, how could I scale that back and really save dollars over the next 4 or 5 weeks?
Yeah. And I think it's knowing your restaurant. If you know January is a really slow month for you, that's probably a great time to get ahead.
Yeah.
You know, so I think just knowing your restaurant, knowing what you're looking out of it can really help the...
Yes. So recommendation for inventory is definitely look now, take some regular counts, and I would say really get an understanding of that dollar amount. Yes. You know, what do you carry every week? And also in alcohol.
Especially in alcohol, especially when it comes to like liquor, right? I mean, you know, we see that all the time that, you know, you could have a ton of liquor and a ton of dollars where, yeah, again, you could, you know, obviously your sales in December hopefully are pushing liquor sales and all these things are up in sales, but it's a great way to maybe back down and say, all right, I've been carrying this many bottles of vodka all year long, but I can probably wean down a little bit now, yeah, and use what we have instead of the consistent ordering.
Yeah, and I think the other really important part to think about here is this is not something that has to take 6 months, but I would really review your internal control process related to holiday parties, right? Because right, if you're having an open bar and you're selling it as, oh, it's, you know, $30 a person or whatever it is, how is that being tracked? How is that being ordered? Right? Is it a free-for-all on the ordering, right, because right, you know you're going to have an open bar? And then what happens to the unused bottles after that party goes away?
Definitely. I mean, we've seen that with a lot of our, you know, clients that do that, you know, banquets across the year. And how do you? You know, is it a certain bottles of liquor that you're using for these? So you can kind of track at least how much the usage were. So if you had a baseline, you could say, all right, for this many people, that sort of makes sense. And obviously, you know, every party can drink differently. but at least have an idea where the staff knows you're tracking it. We'll always go back to, you know, if they know it's not being tracked, how easy it is for the three, yeah, servers working to grab a bottle and go home with, because there's no, it's just a free fall, like you said. So at least having a system in place to know.
Yeah, and I would say perfection is the enemy here, because I think a lot of times, especially with technology, we get the pushback of, oh, well, you know, I can't ring it up in the system. I'm going to mess up the system. I'm going to mess up my sales. So there's nothing I can do. And like you said, even if it's a piece of paper, sure, some sort of tracking is better than no tracking, yeah, even if it's not perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Just to know what you went through and really helping to plan the next part. I mean, really, at the end of the day, just making sure that you know, all right, this is about what we need,
yeah,
for that. And I think some of those things is also is just, you know, getting away from having so many things on that open bar.
Yes.
I mean, most, you know, you have your you know, liquor, you have a handful of bottles that you know, yeah, to sell. You don't need those other ones that you're going to serve one drink out of.
Yes.
So kind of narrowing, you know, even how many beers you're doing, how many different kinds of wine you're doing, you know, you can kind of narrow it and it makes it a little bit easier to track it because you're funneling it all through a handful of different items.
Yeah, so I think in this area, you know, the assignment is really to kind of look at your inventory, look at how it's flowing through, how your purchases are happening, and how catering special events kind of messes that up to make sure that we're not, you know, feeding our staff, right, running alcohol to our staff, and they kind of know December's a free-for-all, but we really want to make sure that we have some of those controls in place because the dollars do matter. All right, so the next one, which sort of coincides with inventory a little bit, is looking at your payables, right? Looking at what do you owe your vendors. I think other, you know, as catering hurts us in some areas, it helps us obviously in the bottom line. So this is not saying catering is bad, but it hurts because a lot of times we're doing special orders. I got to order this from the vendor to bring it in at this time. And a lot of times that can skew our payables, right? We're used to paying this vendor X. Well, now we've double ordered for something that's happening a week from now, and now I owe more. So I think getting a handle on our payables is something that's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially depending on how you're doing your accounting and whether your cost of goods or, you know, based on when you buy the item or whether you're inventorying it, it could be a huge skew because, right, maybe you have a net 30 on payments. So all these huge parties, yeah, you're doing in December that you're taking payment from your customers, your guests now, you're actually not paying those bills till January, which again, it's maybe not a bad thing, but from an accounting standpoint, you might want them in before year end, depending on how your year's going. Yes. You might not want to carry those balances over.
Well, exactly. And I think from a cash flow, I see that so many times where someone says, well, hey, you know, can you look at my cash flow for the year? And you're like, yeah, you know, it does look down a little bit. Oh, it's down because that Amex bill that carried all of your December 2022 stuff was paid in January.
Right.
So you're still kind of making up you know, margin or whatever, just to get back to that cash flow balance you should be at with that Amex included. So I think being aware of what's right. coming on the Amex, because we've seen, you know, six-figure Amex bills in January right. against our, you know, arguably our worst month.
Right, that's the difference. I feel like there's not many times a year where you see such a skewing from what you're doing 1 month to next month, the drop-off. Some restaurants, I feel like, see it from summer to September, because September can be a rough month, but it's probably still not like December to January. Yeah. I think that's where sometimes it's forgotten on. Now, you brought all this money in, but you didn't pay those bills yet, and you're right. wondering why you're starting off 2024 in the hole.
Yes. So I think a plan for those payables, what's going to be my payable balance going into January, and ultimately, what's the cash I need to hold in December to make sure that I'm cash flow positive, you know, into January, February, and March. All right. So then as we get to year end, some things that we need to remember from a timing standpoint is the other thing that people forget is payroll. So there's a lot of things you can do after the fact, right? You can do an inventory count after the fact. You can, you know, find an invoice that really was December that your bookkeeper forgot to put in. Well, we can still put that in December. That's okay. But payroll is one that we can't do anything. Right. So once December 31st hits, if there was an issue with an employee payroll, or someone was supposed to get paid for a week off and they didn't get paid, or you don't have the correct information, this is where some of those random notices happen. That if that payroll information is wrong and your payroll company goes to close the books, that's where all of a sudden you can get that nice letter from the IRS that says you had the wrong social, or you had the wrong person, or this person doesn't match our record. So we really want to make sure, as the owner, you're kind of looking at that list. It's also a really good check, because so many times, as you know, you want to step away from your business, and we understand that you don't want to be there every day. But if you've given someone else the opportunity to run your payroll, you really want to look at those names to make sure that it's not somebody's brother or sister, or, you know, those people that are showing up are really showing up.
We see that, especially in that time where it's probably more staff than normal, right? You're probably more bodies on. It's more people. It's more hours. Maybe you have part-time people that came home from, like, college break, and they're helping out. So, like Dan said, there's a lot of other maybe names that aren't normally on there. And maybe your last payroll now falls the week between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah, yeah.
So as an owner, that's probably the week that maybe you're not trying to be really looking at payroll, which is not a good combination now, right? You have more bodies, more hours, more money than normal.
Yeah.
And you're not in the restaurant like you normally would be maybe that payroll week because of how it falls.
Right. So that's where just being a little ahead of the game, right, a quick check, a quick note to you that, hey, I'm going to check that last payroll just to make sure there's nothing questionable, that I'm in agreement, and then I'm going to, you know, turn off my computer and go back to my family. Right. That little 10-minute check can make a big difference.
Yes.
All right. So then our next one is vendors. Right? So now we've gotten into holiday season, we've ordered more, but this is also really a good time to look at our vendor agreements for next year.
Yeah, I think it's from a two-way street. You want to make sure you're clean. You know, I remember in restaurants, I would always right now, like you're saying, start cleaning up. Every vendor, do I have any open invoices? Please send me a statement right now, because back to the last thing I want is the slowest month of the year, January, and now I get a statement from a vendor that, oh man, I forgot that HVAC never got paid or something. So that'd be one thing. And then, like Ann said, on the, you know, it's a great time of year to really look at the pricing. Like, hey, are there items that maybe you can get, priced out for next quarter, next 6 months, maybe next year? So you know, as you're doing your menu pricing, that, you know, you're writing correct prices for it. And then just, you know, maybe looking at it. That's where we say, you know, compare, you know, a Sysco to U.S. Foods, just to see, you know, does it make sense to at least look at what it would cost to change? We're not telling you to go jump vendors, but at least going through with your rep, picking out maybe that first week of January, like, hey, let's go through all of our pricing. Let's go.
Yeah, set the appointment now, because I think, you know, another thing that kind of fell by the wayside the last couple of years was looking for different vendors or understanding your vendor agreement, because you were just trying to get stuff in your shop, right? You needed chicken, and nobody had chicken. So it didn't really matter who was going to get you chicken as long as they got you chicken. Right. Well, you know, that time's passed. We're back to a more normal supply chain. And so I think it is a great time to look at, what did you spend with each vendor this year? Could you negotiate, you know, primary vendor agreement, some sort of saving? We had you know, a couple clients I've seen where they didn't even know they were set up for a rebate. And all of a sudden, you know, 6-7 months later, there's this huge dollar amount that they're owed from the vendor for the rebate that
right.
nobody knew. And again, I think that goes back to kind of the idea that we have a newer staff, right? Your head chef might not know your agreements with your vendor. So he doesn't know to look for the rebate.
Yeah. And I think it's a good time because, you know, other companies are trying to build their sales. You know, a perfect example, like Coke or Pepsi. Right, if you're using Pepsi, Coke would love to probably come in your operations
right.
and give you a really good deal on, yes. on soda in a box.
Yeah.
And I think when you multiply out how many you use over the course of a year,
yeah.
it really could be a game changer. And if you look at like the really big corporations, like, I mean, those deals on those things are probably their primary yeah. goal. Like, hey, if we can save this amount of dollars on every box of soda,
yeah.
we don't really care what the price of this is.
Because it's found money.
It's found money.
Yeah. And that's where I think, you know, remembering that whatever this year was, right, whatever this holiday season is going to be, this is still, you know, one step in your, you know, bigger picture for your business. So that's where using January, February to look back at, like you said, even the smaller vendors we might not think about. Are we using bottles or we could use fountain? Like, are there things we could do to lower our food costs without adding, you know, revenue or, you know, raising the price, but just little things that go a long way. Because the other thing I would say in the vendors is the third parties, right? We get so mad at how much they take, and that is frustrating,
yeah.
but they also add sales. So I think, you know, setting the timeline to say the third parties are going to be what they're going to be to get me through the holidays. Yeah. But in January, I'm going to look at what I spent in third parties and maybe negotiate. I have one guy who, you know, got a check for like 10 grand for one of the third parties just for agreeing to do some advertising
right.
and stuff he probably would have done anyway. But now, you know, there's cash incentive. So, you know, I think looking at them, remembering that they are also a vendor as part of our business in 23.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, even the ingredients you used, at some point you may have gotten a sub because they didn't have it. And now that sub is saved
yeah.
on and now it's more expensive. I mean, again, if you go to any of the plumbing or HVAC or electricians, all the rates have gone
yeah.
up. I mean, it's not a bad time to say, you know, they're not the only plumber. We understand
yeah.
those prices all went up, but maybe not just settling it. That's how much we have to pay because over the course of the year, how many times are you going to have a toilet or, you know, an
yeah.
HVAC issue that if you could save on the hourly rate, it really could at the end of the year of next year when you're looking to be like, wow, we saved a lot of money or at least they need it. Maybe
yeah.
it didn't go up 10,
yeah.
20%, maybe just kept it the same.
Well, and that's a really good point on the repair side because I think as labor rates have gone up, you know, we have some clients where, you know, maybe they've had someone on retainer or they've had
yeah.
like someone who works in their restaurant also does some repair.
Sure.
That worked at some labor rate, but that may not work now or doesn't work as well. So
right.
I think looking at repairs, the other thing to look at with repairs is, you know, is it a problem piece of equipment that's adding that, you know, your oven breaks once
yes.
a month and, you know, would it make sense to replace the oven rather than having this ongoing expense that's really not adding value.
Right. Yeah, and you're in the perfect time because now you can look at your expenses for last year
yeah.
and maybe something jumps out where, like you said, every week maybe you aren't realizing, oh, that person, but when you really look at it, like, wow, we worked on that oven 9 times last year? That doesn't seem like a good plan because it's probably going to be 11 times this year. So
right.
I think is looking at each individual area, and that's where if you have your cost centers organized on your QuickBooks, whatever you're using, can really dig into what that person was working on, what equipment was.
Well, and that's where the strategy comes, right? Because if we know this in early November, maybe we can replace the oven before December,
right.
which is also a tax strategy.
Sure.
So again, if we know that in February, there's nothing we can do. We can't get the oven in and write it off for last year. But if we know that in November, there still could be something we could do to also have a tax benefit this year as well.
Yeah.
All right. So then our next one is making sure we're compliant, right? Like I think, you know, the first quarter is a great time to check licenses, liquor license,
yeah.
right? Get ahead of the game in that area. So definitely not necessarily something that you have to do right now, but I think this could also be a good, you know, compartmentalizing for the owner to say, I'm not going to stress about my liquor license in December, but I may make sure that it's good in January or February. And
yeah.
same is true for all of the other licenses. I know, you know, the states obviously are looking for money. So we've seen more state notices, personal property taxes, things like that. So just kind of coming up with a list of things that you want to check in January. And then if you're going to have some extra time, that's a great time to check and build the list.
Yeah, and some owners I feel like are really good at that. Like they know exactly when things are expiring, what they need. And I think some we see are a little bit more unorganized. So I think if you're one of the people that like don't really know, as you're doing that, it's a great time to put together like maybe a spreadsheet of like through the year, this expires now, this, right. that. And there's a lot more like even with alcohol training for staff, there's a lot of certifications that could expire from a staff member, not just a manager anymore. So there are more, I feel like, than there was 6-7 years ago on things that you would have to keep track of.
Yeah, and even just set a little calendar reminder, right? Like, I'm going to remind myself on January 15th to do X, because it's going to be fog of war for the next 6 weeks. So having those little reminders, you know, would be a great help. And then the one thing that is really important to check, especially before you get into, you know, December, is your point of sale system. And I think just making sure, again, a lot has changed in this area. We've talked about this on, you know, a few other episodes of, you know, our Halloween Horror Stories episode had one of these. But really thinking about our point of sale, you know, again, we believe everyone is fine, right? Everyone on your staff is there for the good of the company. Right. But, you know, kind of going to your point of sale system with a curious eye to make sure that could somebody manipulate? Because as your volume increases and as you get into the holiday time, there's more incentive, there's more opportunity, things are not always normal. So really looking at the setup of the point of sale system is important.
Yeah, especially if you're a restaurant, maybe it doesn't do a lot of banquets or holiday parties, but now this time of year, it's a little bit different. Well, are they all getting rung in through POS, or are we just like invoicing those people? And that makes it a lot more confusing, especially for places that aren't used to it. If you're a banquet facility, you might be busier in December, but you do it all year long.
Yeah.
But if you're a restaurant that maybe changes how you take payment for some of these, that's where I think you really got to double check to make sure it's going in, whether it's Toast or whatever POS, and you can see that somewhere.
Yes. And I think for this, you know, please reach out, go to our website, schedule a time to check in. We have a great daily sales report that will help with a lot of this, but don't assume if it was fine last year, it's fine this year, because a lot has changed in technology. They've become easier to use, but also easier to use for the staff as well. So it's just a great time to just double check that you have the controls in place to make sure if you're doing all this business that it shows up into your bank account. All right, so thank you so much for joining us. This is our first of our Getting Ready for Year-End episodes. And if you have any questions, please know that we are here as a resource, because we want to make sure everyone has a great 23 and an even better 2024.